Well, hello everyone. Church history is very important now, especially as we get closer to the return of Christ. The biblical scriptures has a detailed 6,000 year thread of time, starting from Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 and leading up to the return of Jesus Christ found in Revelation chapter 19 verses 11 to 21. And we have on our website, the Church of God, a little flock and the sermon archives, we have a sermon titled, When Will Jesus Christ Return? It was given in February 26 of 2022. And there's a chart attached to it on the website, similar to this. Shows some details and all that and the range of years where that 6,000th year falls. In 1972, God's church believed that the 6,000th year was very near the same timing as what happened to the first century Ephesus church, of what they experienced. And there was a booklet in 1975 in prophecy kind of alluding to that, that the church had used. Now, this would be dual or similar to the Philadelphia era church. This was based on the time the gospel message began to be preached by Jesus Christ in 31 AD to the time when the Ephesus church fled from the Roman army invasion of Jerusalem in 69 AD to Pella, a place of safety. Two 19-year time cycles later. And in recent church history during the golden age of the Philadelphia era, the church believed that they would prepare to go to a place of safety in early January 1972. This was near 1,335 days before Christ would return to set up the kingdom of God on earth. This was based on the true gospel message, which began to be preached, we know this quite well, to the world again on January 7th. 1934, Mr. Armstrong, God used him to start that, to start preaching the true gospel to the world at that time. At the end of the second 19-year time cycle, in 1972, the church would flee and arrive in the place of safety and be protected from the Great Tribulation starting 1,260 days before the return of Christ. Now, this would have occurred somewhere around the days of unleavened bread of that year, 1972. Now, history does reveal that God brought Israel out of Egypt during the days of unleavened bread in about 1447 BC. And we see that the Philadelphia era church was strongly convinced by God's scriptures back then, that they would flee to Petra as a place of safety in that early 1972. And one of the reasons was that previously there had been many articles written about Petra being the place of safety in the 1950s and the 1960s. Now we know that that didn't happen back then. It did not. But the church was very zealous to go there at the end of that golden age of the Philadelphia era. They were very zealous. I have my wife to show that, knew that back then. During that time, Mr. Armstrong often mentioned that if Petra is not the place of safety, then the Bible doesn't say. That's how strong those scriptures show. And near the end of his life, he even said that he needed to talk again to King Hussein of Jordan about the possibility of helping the Church of God when it came time to flee to the place of safety located in southern Jordan to Petra in the near future. Also, Mr. Waterhouse often called the place of safety the place of final training. We heard him say that back then. 1980s, 70s and 80s. And that was because we are being trained now from the scriptures to become kings and priests under Christ after he returns. Petra then would be the place of safety where we would go to do and through our final training to prepare us to enter the kingdom of God. For us today now, do we believe that Petra is this hidden city, the place of protection for God's church during the upcoming tribulation? So where is the place of safety? Who will go there? When will we go? And how will we get there? God promises at the end time that there will be a remnant of the Philadelphia era church that will be protected, as the scripture tells us. And let's turn there to Revelation 3, chapter 3, verse 10. We'll be going through quite a number of scriptures today, so we'll start there, where it says, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." Now, the New King James Version says hour of trial, and the Authorized King James Version says the hour of temptation. So how will Christ keep us from the hour of trial and coming persecution during the Great Tribulation? Let's turn to chapter 12 now. Let's see what God says there. Chapter 12 and verse 14, talking about the church, the woman. "But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent." Now there is a place of safety in a wilderness for the people of God. And let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 16. Isaiah 16, and we'll read verse 4. It says in verse 4, it says, "Let my outcasts dwell with you, O Moab. Be a shelter to them from the face of the spoiler." And that's a devastator. We know who that is. "For the extortioner is at an end. Devastation ceases. The oppressors are consumed out of the land." So also those first few scriptures, they go through that as well. But it's interesting that it's called, "Let my outcasts dwell with you, O Moab." Now we cannot know now when exactly this supernatural deliverance will be. But according to Daniel 12, that chapter, we can know the timing ahead of this, when the work of the church ends 1335 days prior to Christ's coming. And in there, when Daniel says that the wise will understand this at the right time, when we will be warned, readied, and then flee with God's protection to a place of refuge and safety from the Great Tribulation. But how will God protect us? Now, we are to keep our minds and efforts on the first commission of God's work. And what is that? The proclaiming of the gospel message that Jesus Christ brought to the world as a witness. The good news of God's kingdom to come in the future. and leave it up to God to reveal the timing and route of the escape to the exact physical place of protection. Now, the escape will be a supernatural deliverance, and that escape cannot be planned for in advance. We can't plan for that. It is a supernatural escape during that time. And who will actually escape and be protected for those 1260 days in a place of safety? Now again, as we've heard in the 1960s, the Radio Church of God began to look forward to that time, January 7th, 1972, when the church would get to flee to the place of safety. And at that time, many thought that the place they would go to would be Petra. And Petra, a rocky, mountainous hideout located in southern Jordan, just north of the Gulf of Aqaba. We'll see all this later. And why did the church believe that? Here's just one of the many indicators found in the Bible. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11, verse 40 and 41, it says, "At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him." And that's talking about the king of the north. "The king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown from his, but these shall escape from his hand, from the beast power, the European armies, and that is Edom, Moab, and a prominent people of Ammon." Now today, that is the modern nation of Jordan. And back then, it was those countries. Now, we know, of course, in 1972 has it's come and gone. But God's prophetic word has remained the same. It hasn't changed. The church is still waiting. We are still waiting for this to happen in the near future. And you might call what happened back then was a dress rehearsal of what will happen with God's church in the future at the very end time. Now going back in time, the Israelites had just walked across the Red Sea on the last day of unleavened bread, escaping Egypt, and God said that he brought them out of Egypt comparatively on eagle's wings. Now let's turn to Exodus chapter 19. Make sure we say that correctly. Exodus 19 and verse 4. It says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." So he sustained Israel and bore them on eagle's wings and brought them to himself. But what about us today? It says that back then. When and how will we go? And when will we arrive at the place of safety in the future? Could it be on or near the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 1260 days before Christ returns? If we keep God's commandments, will we go to the place of safety. And God will protect those remnants of the Philadelphia era, as we saw in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 14. But remember what it says in Revelation 12, 17. So let's go all the way back. We'll come to this place again. But it just comes through and says, and the dragon, Satan, was enraged with the woman that had fled, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, the Bible. They know those things. Now, this implies that even many Christians who keep the commandments and believe the scriptures taught us will refuse to go for various reasons. Now, for various reasons to the place of safety. They will have a complacent, self-satisfied, self-righteous attitude. They may be doctrinally correct with God's word. They may be. Which they have inherited during the previous era. But their mind is set to a we know attitude. We know. And difficult to be corrected. They will be left behind officially beginning the Laodicean era of God's church, and it is also the time that the great tribulation begins. Now let's turn to Psalms 103. We'll read the first five verses there of Psalms 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. We should have a humble attitude and always remember that we are blessed because of God's mercy and promises he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to us, to give us his kingdom. So God's church in the future would fly to her place, as it says in Revelation, or the place of safety on two wings of a great eagle. That's what Revelation 12, 14 stated. On two wings of a great eagle. This is where she would be protected, and we know for 3.5 years. Mr. Armstrong has mentioned that God had the Israelites flee by walking. That's according to the scriptures. They had to walk to the Red Sea. They had to walk everywhere. But today, those going to the place of safety will fly. He also mentioned that we don't know exactly. Now, we don't know this exactly, but it could be. It could be some two-winged large aircraft that takes us to Petra, combined with this miraculous safety that Jordan, the country of Jordan, will give God's faithful people, the remnant of the Philadelphia era. And remember that we are considered outcasts by then. That's what the scripture told us. So we're going to be cast out to this place. Now here is some history. And I have, it's the history of Petra in the Bible, is gleaned from the Good News articles of April, June, and July of 1962. April, June, and July by Mr. Hay, and I have a copy of that first issue. This is Petra. So, that's what we'll be using now as we go through this in various places and sections. And it's interesting, why should the valley through Petra be named after Moses if Moses was never there? Now, the Wadi Musa is a dry stream bed most all the time. It's a dry stream bed. And we'll have something to say after the services that was found on the news. Quite interesting what happened there in Petra. But now that flows through Petra and is actually called the Stream of Moses. The Stream of Moses. Could it be that Moses and the children of Israel actually assembled in Petra before entering the Promised Land? Let's find out. And I'm going to show a chart here. See how we can get through here. Okay, I've got a chart up here, and it's showing you that this is a Petra area right here. Now that's between the Dead Sea and the Gulf of Aqaba, which exits out into the Red Sea, but the northern end of the Gulf of Aqaba. And there's a, if you almost like a straight line, we'll get into that. And that's just to the east, about midway, Petra. And we'll be using this map a number of times. But here I want to show you something else. Here are some pictures of that area. Now this was a good news of October 1963. And it actually had the cover sheet of the Petra area. This is a person standing here. Gives you an idea of the size. And this is at the top side of Petra. The Manya and the valley are pretty ways down here, pretty good ways. And the Wadi Musa flows through here and down. So that gives you an idea of what this is like, the mountainous area, the rocky, cavernous, mountainous area of Petra. Now, the beginning, entering from the valley of Petra, which is on the other end, to enter into Petra, this is called the Sikh. It's essentially about several feet wide in a lot of places, and at the end it opens back up, but several feet wide or so, and you can see what that's like to get in here. The only way to get in through there is through this cavernous trail through here. Gives you an idea what that place looks like before you even get there. And then, just wanted to show you this last one. This shows you as you come out of that Sikh, as you're leaving it, and you can see it's starting to open up into this huge area. You can see the people standing here and in the distance, how far that is. This is at least a couple hundred meters from the entrance, from the opening of that, from the Sikh into the area. This is a carving made long ago into the mountain. And this opens up into a huge area here, which is essentially that monument area, which is Petra, the monument Petra area. Now, why are so many chapters in the Bible devoted to the minute details of the journey of Israel from Egypt to Palestine, or the Promised Land? No other place was more important in the first exodus of Israel. And does Petra's past reveal its future for us today? Does it? Now, there's proof in the Bible that Israel traveled to Kadesh, which is Petra, area, twice while God was leading them to the promised land. Now, the first time God brings them, Israel, to Kadesh or Petra, let's turn to Numbers. Numbers shows this really well, sequentially for the most part. That's Numbers chapter 9. We'll start there. Verse 1 of Numbers chapter 9. It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year, after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying," and it says, "Let the children of Israel keep the Passover." And just know, we know this at the point of time. But let's go to verse 15. "Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up," this was after the first year, so they came out of Israel and was in that Mount Sinai area. In fact, let me go back and check, just show you so we can see this. They came out from Egypt. They came down, this is across the Red Sea, came down through here, then right to this Mount Sinai area. God gave them his commandments, covenant. And this was during that time. Now, he had them make the articles for the tabernacle in the wilderness. And that's where we'll stop there. Later, he's going to bring them up into Petra. So that's where we are starting from here. And I remember that would be the beginning of the second year they erected the tabernacle wilderness. The tabernacle that was in the wilderness, they erected it right after the first year. And we know also that God had given Israel, we saw here, the Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, before then. Now, the eternal God of Israel, who later came in the flesh as Christ, was in the cloud by day and fire to provide light during the night. He was leading Israel, and he determined their movements. So where did he take them? So we read 15. Let's continue with verse 15 of Numbers 9. It says, "Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up," remember now, this is after the first year, "the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, from evening until morning. It was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents all around the tabernacle, where they would have the sacrifices and keep those holy days year by year. Now at the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they would remain encamped." And this is what we're talking about, that Christ was leading them at that time, and he determined their movements. And so where did he take them? Well, let's turn to Numbers 10. We're right there. We'll read and start with verse 11 of Numbers 10. It says, "Also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months," "you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. Now we're getting to verse 11. That's where I wanted to go to. We just read a little before. Now it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony. Continuing, and the children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai. Now, we just saw that wilderness of Sinai where they had gone, God had taken them to. There they made the articles of the tabernacle. They settled it up. They set it up, beginning of the second year. And now here he's taking them on the journey, their first journey out. And the children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai on their journeys. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. So they started out for the first time, according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now, Paran means literally a wilderness, which includes places of caverns and caves. And let's turn to Genesis 21, verse 21. Let's see what it says about this. 21:20. I think this is a side point here, just to show you that this is about Ishmael, Abraham's son by Hagar. It says he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. So when they left where Abraham and Sarah were, this is where he wound up. And his mother took a wife for him in the land of Egypt. So he settled in the wilderness of Paran. And history shows that Ishmael settled in that wilderness of Paran, which included the land of Edom today. And that's right where we'll get into that more with the map. In fact, we'll look at this right now. Let's check this. So it says, you can see they traveled here to Mount Sinai. Now they're traveling northward, is what it looks like, because this is the desert of Paran. This is this area here, where Petra is located. Now let's continue in Numbers 13. And we'll start in verse 1 to 3. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. That's the promised land. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, we're just talking about, according to the command of the Lord, all of the men who were heads of the children of Israel. And then verse 25, 26, it says, and these are the spies, and they returned 40 days later, from spying out the land after the 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So Kadesh, where Israel camped, was in the wilderness of Paran. So what does Kadesh mean? Why is that word there? The Hebrew root word for Kadesh means holy. And we know God is holy. God dwelt in the cloud over the tabernacle, which was in the wilderness of Paran in Kadesh. So God's presence sanctified the city and gave the name Kadesh to it. Now, getting back to this story flow, Moses sent the spies starting from Kadesh, where they went into Canaan, which was northward along what is called, it's called the Way of Arabah. We'll show this. Arabah means plain, which is a desert plain starting from the Gulf of Aqaba, extending northward up to the southern end of the Dead Sea. So the 12 men went upward from there into Canaan to spy the land out. And let's go back there. So we'll see right here that here's Petra, Kadesh, where they were. And what they're coming over here to spy out the land, which is over here in the land of Canaan, Palestine, promised land. So in order to get there, they have to go northward. And what they did is this plain, this way of Arabot, that's what this is named, this pathway between here is a plain flowing through here, going through here between these mountain ranges. And what they did is just move over here from Petra, came up this way and then over into the promised land and spied this land out and then came back 40 days later. Now Araba means plain, which is it's a desert plain starting, we just explained that, you're right, from the north end of the Gulf of Aqaba to the southern end of the Dead Sea right here. Now, let's turn to, let's see, Numbers, and let's look at verse 21 of Numbers 13, and we'll combine that with verse 26 that we just read. Look what it says. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin, as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And verse 26, it says, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron, and all the congregation of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. It's kind of interesting. And one other note, turn to just forward to Numbers 27. This is going through just to give you an idea, it says, Numbers chapter 27, verse 14, it says, for in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to hallow me. This is going forward there. We'll get there in a little bit. But it's interesting. It says, for in the wilderness of Zin. And it says that happened, they called it the waters of Meribah, at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. And then Numbers, we've already gone there. From Numbers 27, verse 14. And now the wilderness of Zin, as we're seeing, and the wilderness of Paran, are two different names for the same wilderness. That's what it turns out to be. That's because the name Zin means a crag or rock extending upward. And remember that Paran means caverns or caves. This is just like the high rocky crags of Petra with its mountainous caverns and caves. Now after the spies returned, they cause the children of Israel to turn against God for bringing them out of Egypt. It's hard to believe. That's what they did. The spies came back with mostly a bad report, except for Caleb and Joshua. And because of this, it wrongly influenced the children of Israel. So that, and this is important, so that their heart, their innermost feelings of the children of Israel became discouraged and lost their will to go to the promised land. And let's turn to Numbers 32, see what it says about this. Going forward, this is going into the tribes and see what it's saying here. Numbers 32 and verse 7 to 9. This is kind of going in a review at this time. Now, why will... Numbers 32 and verse 7. Now why will you discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? Thus your fathers did when I sent them away from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, so that they did not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And they know they were giants over there. That was part of the discouragement. And then let's turn back to Numbers 14 now. Numbers 14 and verse 34. here's the punishment for this. It says, according to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, you shall know my rejection. And he continuing says, I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In the wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Now God told them he would not let them at that time, that first time they went to Petra and spied out the land, came back with a bad report, at that time he would not let them go up and possess the land nor fight their battles. And what happened is that he started the total 40-year wandering until all that congregation was gone. And we know that was from 20 years old and up. And Numbers 32, let's go back to 32, and we'll read verse 13 of Numbers 32. It says, so the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness, wander in the wilderness 40 years now, that's total, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. And we have to remember that during those first 2 years, Israel was always complaining against God and Moses. Now, Kadesh also has more than one name. And in Numbers 13:26, which we just read, 13:26, where it said that came back to Kadesh, we read where the Israelite spies returned to Kadesh. Then we saw that Israel rebelled as a result from their report about the promised land. And if you turn to Deuteronomy 9, let's go to Deuteronomy 9 now. Remember, this is all the first time they went. Numbers 9 and verse 23. Look what it says here. This is a review of what happened. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, your God, and you did not believe him nor obey his voice. That was after the spies went up. But it's interesting that it's called now Kadesh Barnea. Now the Hebrew word for Barnea comes from two Hebrew words, bar and nua. Bar and nua. The root word for nua is to waver or wander, and translated in the Old Testament as wanderer, fugitive. Now, bar means son. It is used in such expressions as Bartimaeus, meaning son of Timaeus, and Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, the son of Jonah. So because of this, they had to wander or be fugitives in the wilderness. It was at Kadesh that the Israelites became discouraged about going to the promised land after those spies' report. And Kadesh was never referred to. It was never referred to as Kadesh Barnea until after they wavered in their faith and refused to trust God. That's where that name came from and why. And because of that, they had to wander as a punishment. And the significance of Barnea then is the wandering sons. Now, here's an interesting point too, is that after the Israelites were told not, God told them not to go up to the promised land because of their unfaithfulness, we know some of the Israelites rebelled and went up anyways to go and take the land in spite of God's warning not to. Most of them lost their lives And the rest were driven back to the original point, Kadesh, where the rest of the Israelites were. Now there is, as a caution to us today, this could be similar to the future time ahead of us when the church flees to the place of safety. There is a specific time when God says to go. But will we be like the Israelites of old with that stubborn, presumptuous attitude? In other words, go when we want to, or to have a leadership that discourages our will to go, and then not to go when we should have. Now, back then, the Israelites were right there at Mount Seir. Now, that's another name, which is a mountain range that includes Petra. We just looked at the Petra area. That's that mountain range. So they had their chance to go to the Promised Land. And we just said before, those false reports, they accused God instead. And then this is important. So then God made them wander in the desert wilderness for 38 years more. 38 years more, and let's turn to Deuteronomy 2. Let's prove that. Because sometimes you can get mixed up in this. 40, 38, because Deuteronomy 2, verse 14. Says, in verse 14 says, "And the time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the river of Zered was 38 years until all the generation of the men of war was consumed from the midst of the camp, just as the Lord had sworn to them." So this is that second time when, we'll go into this, second time when they came to that same area, Kadesh Barnea. And it was 38 years later. So when you add those two sequences, because they were wanderers coming out of Egypt, those 2 years and then the 38 years, you'll see that's the 40 years we're talking about. Now they, like we see, they had already been wandering in the wilderness for almost 2 years from that time they left Egypt. Now these 38 years more of wandering was to be in the Sinai wilderness, which is on the way back to the Red Sea, where they came from, and where they had come from before to Mount Sinai area in the Sinai Peninsula, southwest of Petra. And let's look at this. Make sure we know what we're talking about. Okay, so they were here the first time, Kadesh, Petra. Now, after they spied out land that came back, they rebelled. Name change of Kadesh Barnea also. They're all the same name. You can see here. Then he had to move southward back into this huge wilderness here. A desert of Sinai and a wilderness back into and came through this Mount Sinai area. But they wandered in this area 38 years. Now our son visited Egypt a number of decades ago, and he traveled down near this area. He came across this area from Egypt, came down the Sinai Peninsula, all the way down following the Red Sea, all the way down to the end of the Red Sea finger here in the southern end of the Gulf of Aqaba. He spent some time here, and on his way, he was saying this place is, although they have little oases and things, you know, palms and stuff, a spring, a pool of water, other than that, it's completely desert and mountainous and just barren, even up to the day. So it just shows you they've been wandering there now, had to wander for 38 years there. Now, let's go and see the final time God brings them back to Kadesh. And now after 40 years now, Since the Exodus from Egypt, Moses led the children of Israel back again to Petra, or Kadesh Barnea, in the wilderness of Zin, now on their way to the Promised Land. And Miriam, sister of the sister of Aaron and Moses, died there and was buried there right near Kadesh. And let's look at Numbers chapter 20. Yeah, I had the sister of Moses, but it's also Aaron. So Numbers 20, and we'll read verse 1 of Numbers 20. It says, "Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there." That's the first month of that 40th year. Now, this area had no water in Petra, and the people complained again, which they had done many times before during those 40 years. But no water, complaining. So God tested them with this situation, telling Moses to call for water to flow from the rock formation. This is after they had complained a bit. Now, even Moses and Aaron became so frustrated with the children of Israel's contention with God that they wound up sinning themselves because they did not honor God before the people when this event happened in order to get water. And that's in Numbers 20 and verse 2. It says, "Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron." Okay. And then verse 10, it states, "And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock." This is in Petra. "And he said to them, 'Hear now, you rebels.'" He's quite upset. "Must we," big mistake, "must we, Moses and Aaron, bring water for you out of this rock?" "Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you did not believe me to hallow me in their eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them.'" This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. Now, if you notice, Moses and Aaron were not permitted to bring the children of Israel into the land, into the Promised Land, because of that. So not long after, Israel moved and camped near Mount Hor. And we'll get into this with the map again. To Mount Hor, where Aaron died. And Aaron died just a small distance, which is west of Petra or Kadesh, this Mount Hor. And look at Numbers 33. Go to Numbers 33 again, and we'll see in verse 37 and 38 of Numbers 33, it says that they moved from Kadesh and camped at Mount Hor on the boundary of the land of Edom. "Then Aaron, the priest, went up to Mount Hor at the command of the Lord and died there in the 40th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, on the first day of the fifth month." Now, after this, Israel then moved further northward from Mount Hor and finally came to Mount Nebo. And Mount Nebo overlooks the Promised Land about 10 miles east of the Jordan River and the northern part of the Dead Sea. Here Moses died, and God had Joshua then take the Israelites across the Jordan River to take over the land that was given them. And let's look at this again, the map. And here we are here in Petra. Miriam died after that 40th year that came up here. Miriam died here in Petra in the Mount Seir area. Then they moved over to Mount Hor, where Aaron died, right here. And then there's a bit of scriptures in here. We won't go into all that. They went through the northern part of Edom and then through Moab, and then finally came into the land of Ammon, and the Mount Nebo is right here, which is just to the east of the Jordan River and northeast of the northern part of the Dead Sea. That's where Moses died, and Moses could see this promised land from there, but he was not allowed to go through there, as God said, and then Joshua brought them into the promised land. Now, what's interesting is still later, Petra became part of Israel's southeast border. And we'll find that in Joshua. So let's turn there in Joshua. Just prove some more things about Petra. Joshua chapter 10. And verse 41 of Joshua 10. It says, and Joshua conquered them. There's the people there in that southern area, Edom, from Kadesh Barnea. Comes up as far as Gaza, and that's over near the Mediterranean Sea, and all the country of Goshen, even as far as Gibeon. That's way up north. And then chapter 11 of Joshua and verse 17, we see, thus Joshua took all this land, this is the promised land, the mountain country, all the south, all the land of Goshen, the lowland, and the Jordan Plain, the mountains of Israel and its lowlands, in verse 17, from Mount Halak and the ascent to Seir. To Seir, that's Petra, even as far as Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon below Mount Hermon. That's the northern part. And he captured all their kings, struck them down, and killed them. So we see that the children of Israel actually assembled in Petra that second time as the launching point to finally start their move toward the promised land. Now we saw that Petra, meaning rock, is a mountainous, rocky place with no water and no food, and is partly protected from the outside world. And that's the case. There's mostly no water there, and there's no food where that is. Now let's turn to 2 Kings. We're talking about the actual Petra Monument area. 2 Kings chapter 14. Let's turn there. This is an interesting note. This is Amaziah, king of Judah. And it says he killed 10,000 Edomites. Remember, that's that same area that we showed. And let me bring this map up again so we can look at this one last time here. Remember, that's right here, Edom. And there's Kadesh. And this is what we're talking about, Seir. Selah, we're seeing, we'll find out. So that's going to make sure that's what we're talking about. So he killed 10,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt and took Selah by war. Selah by war. That's what it's pronounced. Selah by war, and called its name Jokthiel to this day. Now in the Bible margin of this scripture, Selah is called the rock, the city of Petra. It's located southeast of the Dead Sea, as we just saw, and was the old capital of Edom. It was its old capital, Edom, and today is part of modern-day Jordan. Now, here's an interesting paragraph. We'll take a look at it. It's taken from the Good News, October 1966. Here's what it says there about Petra, another one of those articles in the 1960s. It says, this is a first-hand view, someone in the church explaining this. Seeing Petra is a sobering experience. You are immediately aware that it would separate the faithful from the doubters, the thankful from the complainers, the converted from the self-deceived. There won't be any room for vanity and foolishness there. And we have to realize back then, in the early to mid-60s, that area, that monument in Petra, they had that monument there, but the valley that's around there, it were just camps, tents. That was back then, and we'll see a little bit exactly what happened all these years now. Now, let us not be distracted today, as we're going to see right now, in the Valley of Petra, that's right outside the monument. Remember, the Wadi Musa flows from top of the mountains all the way down through this monument that we were looking at through there, and then into the Valley of Petra. And there are 3- and 4-star resort hotels and restaurants. Right now, they're there. But they are outside that protected rocky Petra monument, the place of safety. But when the Great Tribulation comes, these tourist attractions are probably going to have difficulty obtaining, if not impossible, any provisions to supply them. The whole valley could be shut down during this stressful time for all the nations at that time, during the Great Tribulation. Right now, it's flourishing pretty well, but when that happens, it'll be totally different. And let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10 now. 1 Corinthians 10. And we'll read, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate of the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And in verse 11, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, even to us today, upon whom the ends of the ages have come, which is, we're getting very near to that. And God the Father's Son, Jesus Christ, is our rock and stronghold. We need to always remember that. It will be Christ that will help us through all the 3.5 years while in the place of safety. And we'll read back again in Revelation. You can turn back there again. Revelation 12. Revelation 12 and verse 14. Again, we'll read that. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And then it goes into verse 15 and 16, where the earth tried to swallow it up during their escape, but the earth swallowed up the waters that Satan brought out. And then finally, into verse 17, the rest of the church offspring who kept God's commandments and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, he went to make war after them. That's the Laodicean era during the Great Tribulation. Now, if we have his faith, Christ's faith, his faith that he will protect us, then he will give us a way to travel to the place of safety and provide for us there during this time. We will have to totally trust and rely on him to nourish us with food and water. And he promises to keep us safe all during this time. And let's see that promise that God gives us in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25, we'll read the 25 on Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, and this is what we're going to have to do at that time. This is coming up, not just now, but even more so then. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? And there'll be a lot of that going on during this time, during that time in the future. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Just how important that is. Now, here's what God says about his people. Very interesting. In this troublesome time ahead of us, and let's turn to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. And we'll read, let's see which verses, verses 19 and 20. Okay, and it says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. It's interesting. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence, from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion or shelter from the strife of tongues. Some indications here and how God's going to be this way for us. Now, I have this, the last article in the July issue that was made, the good news. I'm going to read this last section here. It sums up everything here about those articles. It says, here are literally dozens of scriptures hidden from the world, which clearly speak of Petra and the route to Petra. These scriptures are profitable for our instruction. Those events in Old Testament times are examples for us today. And under Moses, Kadesh, Petra was the station from which the promised land could have been entered. Will it again be the last station today for those who are obedient before entering the promised eternal kingdom of God. We must remember, however, that the route to Palestine or the promised land at the first Exodus did not go directly to Palestine, so we saw. It went via Mount Sinai. What the route for God's people will be this time is not revealed yet. And when God reveals it to his people on earth, it may seem just as unusual as the first route. It's interesting that he said that. And God will reveal it in his time. Finally, brethren, let us keep our focus on obeying God, his commandments and statutes, with God's Holy Spirit, and being part of this end-time work of proclaiming the true gospel message of Jesus Christ of the future coming kingdom of God that goes out to world as a witness. That's how it goes out, as a witness. Then how do we live our lives now, knowing what will happen in the future? And let's see that in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 sums all this up for us. Luke 21, and of course, verse 36. It says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man."